Good morning. Our first lesson today is from the book of Matthew in chapter 1, verse 18 through 25. That is found on page 1497 of your pew Bible. The birth of Jesus Christ. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." This all took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet: "The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Here ends the first lesson.
Thank you. I'm reading to you from page 1588 of your pew Bible, Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 55. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great, and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who is said to be barren is in her sixth month, for nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." And then the angel left her. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished." And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant, and from now on all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones. He has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as he said to our fathers." Here ends the lesson. This is God's holy word. I speak to you again this morning on the challenges of Christmas. Today we talk about the power of a choice. The power of choice. Mary and Joseph were greatly used of God, and as we look at the different characters in the Christmas story, Certainly, it's about the birth of the Lord Jesus, but he's given us so many other lessons and applications that we can apply to our own lives. God was able to use these two teenagers because, really, they gave him control over their lives. We see the incredible spiritual maturity and responsiveness that God can produce in the lives of even teenagers. They were just teenagers. She was probably 13. He might have been 14 or 15 or 16, maybe a little bit older. But here these two teenagers gave their lives to God, and we see what can happen when people give God total control over their lives. And so they responded in the midst of great troubles and stressful times. In the day that they lived in, it was very, very difficult, very dangerous time in which to live, like most of the time, but they lived in very stressful times. They were just teenagers, just a couple of kids engaged for marriage since their childhood, going about life, living out their life the way they thought it should be lived. But their lives were exemplary, chosen by God. God had a special mission for them. God had a special purpose for them, and he chose them because he knew, because of their character, the kind of lives they lived, their integrity, he could count on them to do what they needed to do. Their secret was simply this, the secret for all of us who want to be used by God. God had all their lives. God had control over their lives. They willingly submitted themselves to God. They didn't avoid troubles that came into their lives. They didn't avoid the pain or fears or struggles. They didn't avoid the anguish or the hardships that came into their lives. They just trusted God to get them through it. They endured it all, but God was with them all the way through. Every problem, every difficulty, every chaotic event. And I think they were chosen by God because he knew he could count on them. Joseph, a righteous, pure young man. Mary, a virtuous young lady who lived for God. And their lives, I think today, ladies and gentlemen, apply to us. There's some tremendous lessons that we can learn. Challenges, yes, but lessons that we can learn, because these two young people made some important choices. They were confronted with some great challenges, and they made a choice. We see the power of choice in their lives. You see, these are the kind of choices that any one of us should make who really wants God to bless their lives, God to rule their lives, to reign, to guide them, to lead them. They are choices made by people who live by faith, not by sight. You and I make millions of choices every day, thousands and thousands of choices. And those choices that we make every day determine the direction of our lives. You and I are where we are today, geographically, emotionally, spiritually. We are where we are because of the thousands and thousands and thousands of choices we've made before this to get us, not just here today, but where we are, our station in life, our situations, our circumstances, because of choices we've made. There is power in choice. And our challenge today before us is to have the kind of faith that these two young people demonstrate for us, that we might make similar choices when we are faced with similar challenges. First of all, let's look at Joseph. Joseph was a young man that had a faith that directed his life. Faith that directed his life. Joseph sought the Lord with his problems, first of all. Here was a young man whose entire life had revolved around his family name, important in the Jewish culture of that day, his future marriage, his children, his tribal identities, again, very important to the culture of a Jew living in that day. Now in just one moment, as he was faced with a challenge, it all came crashing down because this young man who had such a serene, such a wonderful life, found out that his intended was pregnant with a child. He knew he wasn't the father. He was, like we can imagine, hurt, dismayed, betrayed, felt betrayed, crushed, disillusioned, perhaps ready to just chuck it all in, totally devastated. And I want you to understand the details, just very quickly, of ancient Jewish marriage procedures that might help us understand what's going on here a little bit better. First, stage one of a Jewish marriage was engagement. Two young people were put together. They were chosen. The choice was made by the parents when the couple was very, where they were just children. The Jewish culture thought it was the decision about who you're going to marry was much too serious to be left to the human heart. So the parents chose the future spouse for their child. That's called engagement. Secondly, was called betrothal. And that was stage two. That was the ratification of the engagement. And if it was accepted, if the two came in and made it, the two couples or the two families came in and made an agreement, it was absolutely binding. The betrothal period lasted 1 year. They were known then, even though they weren't married, it wasn't consummated, they were known as husband and wife. And the only way other than death that you could terminate the betrothal was by divorce. And the third stage was the marriage proper, the marriage ceremony. So even though they had not consummated their relationship, they were called husband and wife in the culture of that day. This hopefully can help us understand what was happening in Joseph's and Mary's thinking here. He was a young man who just trusted God and served God. He sought the Lord with his problems. He was also compassionate here, though. You see here, the penalty for death, according to the book of Deuteronomy, the law of that day, was death by stoning. Mary should have been stoned. But stoning even at that time was not often done, because divorcing her, he felt, would have been more of a public humiliation and would probably have prevented remarriage. And he thought that certainly was enough. He was too compassionate to want to put her to death as the law required. And his compassion and his desire to seek the Lord with his problems, I think, caused him to plan to put her away privately, as the scriptures tell us. I say to you today that if you want to know the Lord, if you want to grow spiritually in your relationship with God, you must seek the Lord with your problems. Don't look for humans' answers and solutions. Don't go out and look for what the secular society tells you. God controls our lives. And God encouraged us to come to him in everything with prayer and supplication. He tells us, let our requests be made known to God. So seek the Lord with your problems. Don't seek human solutions. Secondly, he not only sought the Lord with his problems, he listened to the Lord for his guidance. It says there in verses 20 to 23, it tells us there that he listened to God. He was sensitive to what God was saying. He didn't just go through the motions of listening and then doing what he wanted. He wanted to know what God wanted. He sincerely listened to the Lord and then did what God said to do. God says, you take Mary, because what she has conceived in her womb is not of man, but it's of the Holy Spirit of God. This is a special birth. And again, I think God's teaching us today that we must be sensitive to him. If we have a God that controls the world, everything must be brought to him. Everything that happens in our lives, we must be sensitive to what he might be doing in our lives. God says in Psalm 46, 10 and 11, be still and know that I am God. As long as we're busy and rushing here and there and doing all of these things, we're too busy to hear this sweet, small, still, quiet voice of God. So we must take the time to read the word of God, to listen to what he says to us, and then to respond the way he wants us to respond. He listened to the Lord for his guidance. And then Joseph obeyed the Lord with his actions. He went and went on with the betrothal stage, and he called this baby, they had the baby, they called this name Jesus. You see, it's not what we say we're going to do, it's what we do. This morning, Many times we give God lip service to obedience. Are you truly obeying Him? Is the Word of God your guide? Is the Word of God what leads you? Or do you just try to do the best you can in doing what you think might be best? Or is it God controlling? Fourthly, Joseph honored the Lord by his obedience. Gave him the name of Jesus. So he honored the Lord. He was obedient. Fifthly, Joseph waited on the Lord for his leading. Now, as you look at Joseph's life, we don't see it in the story here, but later on, after the baby is born, after the wise men come and bring gifts, we see that Herod erupted in anger, the King Herod, and he tried to kill all of the babies. So Joseph, by the direction of the Holy Spirit, left town and went on into Egypt to avoid having his baby killed by the king. And so what we see here was he was a leader in the care of his family. We live in a crisis in our society today of fatherhood, father abandonment. Men having babies and then abandoning their families is rife. One of the great social problems that we have in our nation today. Joseph gave us a great example of how to protect his family. He was a protector of his family. He made decisions for the future of his family. He left Nazareth, left Bethlehem, left Nazareth, went on into Egypt because of the ire of the king. You see, it's wrong. And he did this because the Holy Spirit led him. It's wrong, ladies and gentlemen, to leave the Lord out of our decisions. Many times we make decisions and then we pray about it. Or many times we make decisions, and then when it doesn't work out, then we ask God. Many times we don't ask God at all. But God's leading. As we must see as we move through this process of selecting the new pastor of this church, God's leading must always be waited for. God doesn't act upon our behest. He doesn't act at our dictates. He acts in his own timing. He acts according to his plan, and he expects us to align ourselves with him. We cannot rush him. We cannot guess what he wants. But he wants to make our paths straight. He has a wonderful plan, greater than any of us can even imagine this morning. And he wants to make our paths straight. I ask you, are you waiting on God? Are you aligning your plan with his plan? Are you following his dictates, his leadership in your life, or are you just kind of just plodding through? Next to last, Joseph followed the Lord's directions for his family. God laid down a plan, he obeyed it. Just like he lays down a plan for us, and we must follow it. To obey God and leave the results to God. You see, Joseph didn't try to negotiate with God. You don't see Joseph say, hey, Lord, I got a better plan here. Let me show you what I've got. He just did what God told him to do. Do you this morning know what God's directions are for you? What's God's plan for your life? Are you obeying and following God's plan? God's given us a book here that's filled with his directives, filled with knowledge about him and how he operates, how he works, how he has purpose and plans for us. And he invites us to follow what he's telling us. Proverbs 3:5 tells us, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all of your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. If we take everything to him and follow his leadership, he tells us he will guide us to that perfect place. Joseph led his family, lastly, in the ways of the Lord. Here's this dynamic young man who grew into a great, great father, great husband. Tells us in the scriptures that he followed God's word for raising his children. As was the law stated, when a baby was born, the parents were to take that baby to the priest and dedicate the baby to the child. We read in Luke chapter 2 that that's exactly what Joseph did. He led Mary and the baby to the priest and dedicated the baby to the child, to the baby to the Lord. And he led his family in worship. Every year he attended Passover services, as was the custom, as was the law. Here was a spiritual young man who God could trust with the raising up of his own son. A young man who loved God, who was willing to submit his life to God's will, and God used him in a great way. And it shows us the power of choice. He could have said no. Who knows what would have happened to Joseph if he would have told God no. But he was open to what God wanted him to do, and God just totally used him in a way far beyond what we can even understand. He had a faith that directed his life. Mary had a faith that determined her choices. Mary chose to listen to God. Here's the thing. The angel Gabriel, we read there in Luke 1, the angel Gabriel came to Mary in the city of Nazareth. He came and tells, here's this little girl, probably 13 years old, and he said, Mary, you are highly favored by the Lord. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among all the women of the world. This little teenager. God looked down from heaven and saw her. He chose her. Of all the gospel writers, the four gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, of all four of those writers, it's Luke who highlights Mary in his writings. There are 20 verses in the Gospels that name Mary. And 12 of those 20 verses that name her are in Luke. And one is in the book of Acts, which Luke also wrote. 65% of all of the mentioning of Mary in the scriptures mentioned by Luke. Luke shows us the qualities that God admires in a woman. And God looked down and picked her out of the entire world, out of the millions of young women in the world. He looked down and chose Mary for this special assignment. Nobody else in the world could do what God had chosen her to do. Was Mary great? Well, by human standards, no. Think of some of the things the scriptures tell us about Mary. She was a native of Nazareth, one of the worst places a person could live back then. A very obscure town, very uneducated, very poor, very poverty-stricken. She was a poor family out of the poor city of Nazareth. She was probably the most unlikely young woman to be chosen. You and I would have never picked her. She had a sister named Salome, the mother of James and John, Jesus' cousins, two of the disciples, a couple of fishermen. Her father was Eli. Her father-in-law was Jacob, both of them of the lineage of David. So she fulfilled the law and the prophecy of God by being of the lineage of David, which God had prophesied. The Messiah would come through David's line. Elizabeth was probably her cousin. We talked about her last week. She was the wife of Zacharias, mother of John the Baptist, who before time had been barren, couldn't have a child. Here she was in her old age. God gave her a child. God knew that he could use Mary because he knew he could trust her with great responsibility. And she listened to God, and she made a volitional choice to listen to God. You see, spirituality doesn't just happen, folks. We don't become spiritual or worship God just because it happens. We must make volitional choices. Our will must engage positively towards God so that we can be used of God and what God wants us to do, so God can accomplish what he wants to accomplish through us. Are you listening to God this morning? Are you in your Bible on a regular basis, reading, hearing what the Lord has to say to you so he can guide your life? She listened to God. God encourages every one of us to listen to him. Secondly, Mary chose to humble herself before God. When the angel spoke to her, the Bible says in Luke chapter 1, she was troubled at his words. It bothered her. Can you imagine? An angel comes to her and he starts to speak to her. Well, you probably think, what did I do wrong? Am I going to get zapped from heaven? Is God going to kill me? And that's certainly what she was thinking. She wondered what manner of greeting this should be. And the angel says, "Don't be afraid, Mary. Don't be afraid, for you have found favor with God." This is not a judgment. This is a blessing. Here was a young girl who put on no airs, had no pride. She just had a humble heart, a troubled heart, that anyone would say such a thing to her and about her that she never thought about herself. She knew her heart, but then she discovered God's grace and became an heir of salvation. She chose to humble herself before God. And that's the way, those are the kinds of people that God can use. Not people filled with pride, not people who think they are somebody, but people who say, "God, I need you. Without you, I can do nothing. Here's my life." Thirdly, Mary chose to surrender to God's will. And all of us have that choice. We can surrender to do our own thing, or we can surrender to do what God wants. The angel said, "You're going to have a baby, Mary. You're going to bring forth a son, and his name will be called Jesus. He'll be great. He'll be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over his house of Israel forever." So by faith, this young lady believed that God would produce a miracle within her. She believed that tiny hands would form within her that would someday touch lepers with a healing touch. She believed that this baby would have a mouth formed that would one day speak the very word of God. She believed that there would be soon the kick of little feet that one day would walk the roads of Israel to spread the gospel. This young lady saw not what she wanted to do, but she saw the incredible ministry opportunity to be used of God in a way that would impact eternity. She had the long view, not the short view. She looked far beyond her own little world and saw what God wanted to do with her. God wants to do something great with every one of us. If we'll get our minds and thoughts off of the temporary and look to the eternal. Fourthly, Mary chose to experience God totally. She says, "How can all of this be when I'm just a virgin?" The angel said, "The Holy Ghost will come upon you. He will do something supernatural. He will bring forth this son. For with God, nothing shall be impossible." There is nothing, ladies and gentlemen, impossible with God. Quit looking at such a little world before you. Quit putting God in a little corner. Quit putting limitations on God. There's nothing impossible with God. She was surrounded, the angel told her, surrounded by the Holy Spirit as God the Son entered into her womb. You see, God doing the impossible, I think, is what our life for him should be about. God wants to do miracles in our lives, but so often he is limited by our unbelief. Not that he cannot, but he will not. Because we just don't believe he can. But Mary believed as a 13-year-old girl that God would do what he said he would do, that he would conceive the blessed Son of God, God in the flesh, in her womb, and one day he would save the world. Can you imagine a 13-year-old young lady having that kind of faith? She chose to experience God totally. She chose to serve God joyfully. She said, "I'm the servant of the Lord. Lord, let your word be fulfilled in me. Do unto me according to your word." She realized she was a slave of God. Her life was not her own. So she was totally committed to God's plan. And then the angel left her. And she had a tremendously submissive and godly attitude. First of all, she went to visit her cousin Elizabeth to bless her. Mary got about doing the plan of God, service for God. And then lastly, Mary chose to immerse herself in the scriptures. She decided to grow and know God. And so she got into the Word of God and read the Word of God and sat at the feet of great teachers. And she said in Luke 1:46, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he that is mighty has done to me great things, and holy is his name." So here's a young lady that sought God. She didn't just let things happen, but she sought God. How'd she do it? Now you think about the culture of that day. We think it was so simple, and it was. We're so busy today, and we are. But listen, in that day, every drop of water was carried home by women from springs or wells in clay pots. Every ounce of flour was ground with a stone mill. Every loaf of bread was baked in an oven with a wood fire burning to heat it. And every dish was hand washed. Time was at a premium. But women were not. In that day and time, in Mary's time, women were close to being regarded as no more valuable than a piece of furniture. They were denigrated, just objects that men in society used as they were. Jesus Christ was the first one to come along in history to elevate women to their proper place. Her knowledge of God, her knowledge of the scriptures must have come from her father. Again, a very pivotal position here. Her father, Heli, must have taught her the scriptures. Perhaps he encouraged her by exposing her deeply to the Word of God. And what a wonderful pursuit for any dad to teach their children the scriptures. What a wonderful pursuit. She must have developed through him a great love of God. Two last things I want to say to you. Two great things we see in this story. First of all, we see the greatest truth of Christianity. That is this: at salvation, we got all of God. When we got saved, when you trusted Jesus Christ as Savior, the scriptures tell us that God himself came to live within our bodies. All of God, in all of his power, in all of his totality, he came to live within us. We didn't just get part of God or a portion of God. We got all of God. It says here that he shall be named Jesus. Why? Because he will save his people from their sins. So the greatest truth of Christianity is that when we get saved, when we trust Jesus as our Savior, we get all of God. The second great thing, though, is the greatest question for us. Does God have all of us? Are we serving God wholeheartedly with all of our, every fiber of our being? Is he first and foremost our first priority? Or do we take God as we can? Do we take him for granted? Do we serve him how we want? Or is he our everything? Bow your heads with me. This morning I want to encourage you about the power of a choice. You will make many choices this week. You will make choices this morning towards what you've just heard. Whether or not you'll listen to God, whether or not you'll surrender to God, or whether or not you're going to do what you want to do. I encourage you, the power of a choice, give yourself to God. Set aside any hindrance, any sin, anything that keeps you from giving God your everything, and let him be first and foremost your greatest priority in life. If you do not know him as Savior, that's where it all starts. Trust him this morning. We'll have prayer workers in the back this morning of the room that will pray with you. If you do not know how to trust Jesus as Savior, they will show you, they'll pray with you so that you can know Christ as your Savior. But this morning, as we bow together, as we pray, just give your life, give yourself, take your hands off the controls and say, God, I want my life to bring glory to you. Here's my life. The best way I know how, I give it to you. Dear Lord, we thank you for your grace, your mercy, all that you are, all that you are. We thank you for Joseph and Mary, the power of a choice. Help us think of every choice we make these days ahead, and may we make choices volitionally that are positive towards you. Save that one that may not know you as Savior. Draw us all to you. Do in us what we cannot do for ourselves. In Jesus' name, amen.